You ever, like, think about what goes into making sure those small planes we see in the sky are safe? Like, who's making sure they're good to go?
It's something most people probably don't think about until there's a problem, right?
Right. And today's deep dive is all about that. We're talking aviation mechanics, specifically the ones working on those smaller aircraft, and whether their certifications are really, up to snuff.
And this is a big deal because we're talking about safety here. We're diving into this opinion piece from Aviation Maintenance Magazine, and let me tell you, this veteran mechanic doesn't hold back.
No kidding. He paints a pretty unsettling picture. The gist is, right now, you could become a certified airframe and power plant mechanic, A&P, just by racking up enough hours of experience.
Exactly. And that's a big difference from what we see with airline mechanics who usually go through these structured programs with way more oversight.
So someone could be working on my little Cessna, and they might have never even stepped foot in a classroom. That's kind of unnerving.
That's the whole point the author Carl Ziegler is trying to make. He's worried about this, what he calls a widening skills gap between the older mechanics, the ones who've been doing it forever, and these newer folks who might be relying solely on those experience hours.
And he's saying that could be a safety issue, especially as those smaller planes in the general aviation fleet get older, right?
Exactly. He's worried these newer mechanics might not be ready for the unique challenges those older aircraft can throw their way. Like, he specifically points out that airline maintenance programs are structured and have oversight protection not available in GA Part 91 operations, meaning those general aviation mechanics might be missing out on key stuff.
So what's he suggesting? Should we just like ground all the Cessnas until we figure this out?
Well, he has a more, shall we say, nuanced solution. He's proposing this two-tiered system for A&P mechanics, one for those with formal training from an approved Part 147 school. He calls those the unlimited rating.
Okay, makes sense. So they're good to go on any aircraft, right?
Right. And then you'd have the limited rating for those who only have those experience hours, meaning they'd only be cleared to work on certain types of planes. He basically wants to make formal training the gold standard, like you've got to prove you've got the knowledge to back up the wrench turning.
I could see where he's coming from. I mean, you wouldn't want someone performing surgery just because they've watched a bunch of medical dramas. It's about ensuring that baseline level of competency, right?
Exactly. And especially as those general aviation planes age, it's all about making sure those repairs are done right, no cutting corners.
Which, I mean, when you're talking about something that flies, there's really no room for error.
None
So it
whatsoever.
seems like a pretty solid idea, this two-tiered system.
Yeah.
What did the FAA have to say about it?
Well, from what Ziegler says in the article, they weren't exactly jumping for joy. Seems like they've got a lot on their plate already, with those ATC errors and implementing those SMS things.
Oh, right. Safety management systems. They've talked about that for a while.
Yeah, and it sounds like they're even doing some investigations into professional responsibility. So a big shakeup to the mechanic certification process probably isn't at the top of their to-do list.
So they're basically saying, thanks, but no thanks. We're good.
Pretty much. They're citing limited resources, you know the usual. But here's the thing. Ziegler actually argues this change wouldn't even cost them anything extra.
Really? How's that?
He figures with a more skilled workforce, you'd have fewer incidents, less need for those FAA investigations and all that. So he sees it as a kind of preventative safety measure. Save money in the long run.
Interesting. So it's not just about the certifications themselves, but about shifting the whole approach to safety.
Exactly. And it's not just the FAA he's calling out either. He also points a finger at the industry itself, saying they don't focus enough on general aviation mechanics.
Which is weird when you think about it. Those smaller planes are everywhere.
Tell me about it. But Ziegler's saying they get treated like a stepping stone to the airlines, not a critical part of the aviation world in their own right.
So what's the impact of that?
Well, he points to things like the Bureau of Labor Statistics, the folks who keep track of all the job numbers. He says they're mostly focused on the airline side of things, not so much on general aviation.
So those mechanics are kind of invisible in the data.
In a way, yeah. And he also calls out groups like that Aviation Technical Education Council, ATEC, saying they don't put enough emphasis on the needs of general aviation maintenance.
It's like everyone's focused on the big jets and the little guys are getting left behind.
It's a valid concern, especially when you consider all the different types of planes you see in general aviation.
Right, it's not just cookie cutter Boeings and Airbuses.
Exactly. You've got everything from those little Cessnas and Pipers to those more complex turboprops,
Right.
each with their own quirks, And parts can be harder to come by for those older models, too.
Yeah, that makes sense. So It's not just about having the basic skills, but knowing the ins and outs of all those different aircraft.
Exactly. And as that general aviation fleet ages, that knowledge is going to become even more important.
So what's the solution here? Does Ziegler offer any ideas, or is he just waving a red flag and walking away?
He does have one really interesting idea. Mentorship.
Mentorship.
Right.
Like pairing up those seasoned mechanics with the newer folks.
Exactly. He uses the example of inspection authorization backlogs in Minnesota.
Now, hold on. For those of us who don't speak aviation, what exactly is an inspection authorization?
Oh, right. Of course. It's basically like a super mechanic. You know, they're not just fixing things. They're actually inspecting the aircraft and saying, yep, this is good to go, safe to fly. They have to have that special IA license.
Okay, got it. So what does that have to do with mentorship?
Well, Ziegler says there's this long wait to get your IA in Minnesota. So he's suggesting these experienced mechanics, those IAs, could mentor the newer guys while they're waiting for their turn.
Ah, I see. So instead of just twiddling their thumbs, they're passing on their knowledge.
Exactly. The new guys get hands-on guidance from the pros, and those experienced IAs get to share what they know. It's a win-win.
Way better than just trying to learn everything from a book, right?
Absolutely. It's about that real-world experience, which Ziegler keeps coming back to. He's not saying formal training is bad, just that it's not the whole picture. You need that practical know-how, too.
It's like the difference between reading about how to bake a cake and actually getting your hands dirty in the kitchen.
Exactly. And this mentorship thing could be a way to bridge that gap.
So we've got this potential problem, right? This experience gap. And we've talked about the FAA's response and even some solutions like that mentorship idea. But Ziegler, he leaves us with this, like, this big question at the end of his piece, almost like a challenge.
He does, yeah. And it's a really interesting one, too, because it gets at the heart of, you know, what really makes a good mechanic.
Okay, so he asks, and I want to quote him directly here, if you were responsible for aviation safety, what weight would you give to experience versus formal training, and how would you ensure a skilled workforce for all types of aircraft, not just the big airlines? So, like, hit me with it. What's the answer? How do we balance those two things?
Well, that's the million-dollar question, isn't it? Because you've got that hands-on experience, right? Years of getting your hands dirty, knowing those planes inside and out. You can't learn that from a book.
It's like that gut feeling a mechanic gets when they hear a weird noise.
Mm-hmm.
And they just know something's off, right?
Right. But then you've got all this new technology, these complex systems that, yeah, experience helps, but you need that solid foundation of knowledge to really understand what's going on.
So it's got to be a mix of both, right?
Exactly. And I think that's what Ziegler's getting at. How do we make sure those new mechanics have both? The experience, sure, but also the education to back it up.
Especially with those older planes we were talking about. They require that specialized knowledge.
Absolutely. And how do we make sure that knowledge gets passed down? We talked about mentorship, which is huge, but what else can we do? It's about making sure those experienced mechanics have a way to share what they know before they retire.
It's like we're losing all that valuable knowledge if we don't do something.
Exactly. And that's why I think articles like this are so important, you know? They get people talking, they make us realize, hey, this is something we really need to pay attention to.
It's easy to forget, right? We get on a plane, we assume it's safe, but we don't always think about all the work that goes into making that happen.
It's a team effort, for sure. And those mechanics are a critical part of that team.
Well said. Well, on that note, I think we'll wrap up our deep dive into this whole mechanic certification issue. Thanks for breaking it all down for us.
Anytime. Always happy to talk shop.
And for our listeners, thanks for joining us for another deep dive. We hope this has given you something to think about, maybe spark some conversations of your own, because at the end of the day, aviation safety is everyone's responsibility.
Couldn't agree more.
Until next time, keep those wings level.